And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Your No-Show, the show that addresses metaphysical interpretations of life, the show that allows us to know that all is well, that God is and I am. Wherever it is that I am, therefore God is. We are so excited that you decided, from the Latin word decir, meaning to decide, you decided to stop by here for a few moments and to visit with us. We know that all is well and that there is serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality in everything that we do. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan, and it is my pleasure to serve as your host of this Your No Show. We are pleased this evening to have several folks with us who are going to talk a little bit about our friend and our fellow professional photographer, James Johnson, Jim Johnson. And we are pleased that others who could not be with us on the telephone or by email or by computer have sent words of encouragement and to let folks know that all is well. In my faith walk, which is New Thought Metaphysics, we don't have funerals. We have transition services because we know that we are simply moving from one phase of life into another and that our beloved friends, our partners, and family members are as aware as ever, and that we are only separated by a thin, invisible partition, and that love is always right there wherever it is that we are and wherever it is that they are. Jim and I talked a lot about metaphysics. We talked a lot about Buddhism and the application of spirituality to every phase of life, especially to photography, and how pleased we were that the God Force has given us this vision and this opportunity to share our passion with the world and with each other. I often shared with him how grateful I was that Spirit had brought him into my life, and then we would go off onto another tangent of the three S's, serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality. Again, knowing that there are no accidents in life, only spiritual opportunities awaiting our awareness to activate itself in our lives and the lives of those within our circles of influence. Again, we are so pleased that you are here with us for this tribute to Jim Johnson, James Johnson, master craftsman, photographer, master of life, and our dear, dear friend. Several days ago, some interesting things happened to me, and I want to share that with you. We always try, Carrie Kelly and I, we always try to open with something that allows us to bring spontaneity and gaiety into this experience, and tonight is no different. Several days ago, as I was repairing the visor mirror over my now antique automobile, where it had pulled away from the part of the sun visor that swings back and forth to protect us from the sun, and because of the fact that it was dangling by the attached electrical cords, I said, self, I think I need to do something about this. So I did. I had repaired it before, but apparently did not put enough Gorilla Glue on either the backing or the part that had broken away. I bought a really big bottle this time of Gorilla Glue. And if you know Gorilla Glue, you know that it comes with a warning to be extremely careful when applying it and to not get it on anything that you do not want to be permanently attached to. You, anybody, anything that goes to. I painstakingly read the instructions this time, and this bottle said to make certain that I wet the area opposite the glue side. I thought that interesting and wondered why the other smaller bottle and not indicated the same. Although, as I said before, this time I did take my time to read the instructions. I placed the glue on heavily, pressed the two together, and resisted the urge to pull or tug on either piece to see if it was holding. You know that feeling, don't you? The next morning I went out, opened the Godmobile, which is what I call my vehicle, pulled the visor down, and lifted the visor to open it, and it was very secure, extremely secure, as a matter of fact, because I was working, you know, that night before, and I could not see what I now saw, which was that I had really, really put a lot of Gorilla Glue on that visor. Some of the excess had come through the plate and wrapped itself onto the corners of the glass and formed a solid bubble plate. It would actually take an act of Congress and two of my grandchildren to even put a dent in that visor. It was about that time that I heard in my mind's eye the voice of Jim Johnson saying to me and teasing me, as he always did. I heard Jim saying, "Man, you are one dangerous brother with Gorilla Glue." I laughed so hard, and I'm still laughing, and I know that Jim Johnson is laughing as well. So good evening and welcome to your no-show. We have a number of you that are online with us, and if you want to make a comment or add a statement to something that someone has said, I would ask you to press 1 on your phone, and then you will be able to do just that. And we are so pleased, again, that you are with us both by telephone and online, overseas as well as right here in the United States of America. We want to welcome, Carrie Kelly and I do, Ronald Williams and Dobie, two of James's very, very, very dear friends, two of my fellow photographer buddies to the No Show. And I want to go ahead and open their mics now and say good evening. First of all, good evening, Ronald. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Nice to be here.
I'm so glad that you are here. I appreciate that so much. You and I actually saw each other. I guess the last time that I actually saw Jim, because you were doing a job for me, because you made me pay you royally for that, which I knew came from Jim, because Jim always wanted to make certain that get the money, get yourself paid, make sure you take care of business, but anytime you take care of business, make sure that the client also takes care of you. And the other gentleman that I want to welcome right now is Dobie. And good evening, Dobie. And again, you too are a dear friend of Jim's and part of that rat pack that we all had there in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Good evening, and how are you, sir?
Good evening, Robert and Ronald. Thanks for inviting me on to the show.
We're so pleased that you are here. As I said before, folks, this is a tribute to a phenomenal individual, a phenomenal servant of spirit, an awesome man in his own right, sophisticated, educated, intelligent, fun-loving, and just downright good people. And so, Ronald, let me start with you. What are some of the things that you remember about your activity with Jim Johnson and some of the things that went on to help you to become the phenomenal photographer and master craftsman that you are today?
It would have to be Jim's marvelous smile to start out with, but more so
okay.
than that was his way of pushing you constantly to be
yes.
great at any photography that you did. He wouldn't settle for less.
Yeah,
Jim would always powerfully expect you to expect the best out of yourself, and he would always tell you, whatever you learned, be sure that you pass it on. Jim
yeah.
passed it on to me from when I first met him until the day he left here.
Yeah,
and I'll never forget that reality from him because it always stays in my mind. He was one of those
Absolutely.
Photographers that would share his life and his gift with anyone that he
mm-hmm.
met.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very, very well said, and I completely agree with all of those sentiments, because that is who it is that Jim Johnson really is, the essence of any one of us. Whenever it is that we move from one plane of existence to another, we take that with us. In the movie Ghost, Patrick Swayze said to Demi Moore when she was holding on to him, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the grace, you take it with you. So all of those qualities, all of those attributes, not only is Jim taking them with him, but he is also leaving them here because we are here. He is also leaving them here because his energy field was so fabricated with the essence of that light and that love and that teaching and that goodness and that grace, that how could he not share that with others of us? Dobie, what are some of your recollections of our dear friend?
Well, I would have to say that I've known Jim, or Jimmy as I grew up knowing him, all of my life, because I grew up next door to him. So I've known him, you know, when he was in high school, well, not high school, really at Howard, and, you know, before he became a photographer. And, you mm-hmm. know, so we were, he was like a, well, he and his brother, Michael, were like, you know, brothers to me, because I only had a sister. And so, you know, I used to, you know, watch, he influenced me. I mean, you know, how he carried himself, how he dealt with people when he worked at the EPA, and then when he decided to pursue his passion, which was photography, which I'm sure he was influenced by his father, because his father was a photographer as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so watching how he went about building his business, and then I, you know, worked with him for a while I was doing my graduate studies. And but we went in two different directions. I mean, Jim, you know, really enjoyed doing the weddings and, you know, family portraiture. And I, you know, went the commercial route. So we would, in some cases, refer jobs to one another. You know, if I had new people that were getting, you know, looking for a wedding photographer, I would refer them to him. And, you know, some of the commercial work that he didn't really, you know, some of it he didn't really enjoy, you know, doing, you know, he would pass along to me. So, you know, we had a, you know, kind of a tit for tat, but very, very close friendship. And, you know, he was just all around, you know, a good guy, you know, had, I mean, back during his hot rod days, you know, I was right out there with him and his friends, you know, working on his hot rod. And, you know, it was just really, really something else, you know, to see that he was willing to share, you know, what he was doing. You know, he wasn't a closed person. You know, he was always very open. And, I, you know, always, you know, stayed in touch with him. And, you know, we kind of, I think at one point, you know, in the 80s, you know, Jim had bought a Jeep Cherokee. And then in the 90s, I bought a Jeep Cherokee. And then, you know, similar in camera equipment, you know, I would buy some of his, kind of talk him out of selling some of his equipment to me. You know, I would just kind of stay on him and on, well, you don't really need that. You don't use that anymore. So sell it to me. So we had a really good relationship. So, you know, we were very close, you know, because it was literally, you know, right next door to me. And so, and, you know, Jim was 10 years older than me. So, you know, I was, you know, like I said, he was a big brother to me.
Absolutely. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I, too, have a couple of what I call JJ stories, Jim Johnson stories, that I will share with you all in a little while. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that this is The No Show. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan, along with Carrie Kelly, my trusty cohort, and we are so pleased that you decided to stop by here. We are addressing something that we call, in the metaphysical movement, transition, moving from one phase of life into another. Other people call it death. Death to us seems to be like the final curtain of anything that might happen. And if we know spirit as we do, then we know that life continues. Life is always a continuum of moving forward, going up, doing better, and moving forward in wonder-filled and wonderful ways. And the love, the light, the peace, the joy, the goodness, and the grace, we always, always take it with us. And we share it with others who are wanting to have part of that experience as well. We would invite you all to, if you would like to make a comment, then please, if you've called in at 347-838-9142, please press 1. That will alert us to know that you would like to make a comment or say something, and we will bring you into this discussion. We welcome that opportunity. That is what this is all about. Let me share one of my little stories with you. That is what I call the Jim Johnson experience. When I first came back from overseas, having been in the military and all of that good stuff, and in Japan at that, and I was taking photographs over there. After I got here, I learned I was taking pictures. I thought I was taking photographs and portraits even at that. Well, when I came back to the States, one of my best friends, he was one of my tennis partners, and he decided that he wanted for me to do the wedding of he and his bride-to-be. And he was a very, 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 very beautifully dark-complexioned brother. And she was a very, 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 did I say very, high yellow young woman. They both decided that they had to get married, of course, in white. I mean, not just white, but white, white. And so they did. And so I photographed that wedding. Well, of course, after I photographed it and did the little things that I knew to do, I immediately took it to one of the best photo refinishing places in the area, Walgreens. Had to be the spot. Well, let me tell you, when I got those pictures back, and I had to show them to him at first so that he would, in fact, know that I had done something, and so he could at least tell his wife that I had done something, he said this to me. He said, "Man, let me tell you, my wife is going to kill you. And she's a good Christian woman, but she is going to kill you." And looking at those pictures, I understood that. So I said, "Oh, my goodness." But I thought I had done a really great job. So I took those photographs to Mr. Davis, Curtis Davis, on Davis Place in Southeast Washington, who had a dark room in his home. And he looked at those images, and then he looked at the negatives. And he looked at me, and he said, "Young Mr. McMillan, you are a fine photographer, and you have done these people a tremendous service. Come back and see me in 2 days and let me show you the great job that you did." I went back, and of course, Ronald and Dobie, you all know exactly what I'm talking about, and other professional photographers who are on the lines with us. And I went back, and of course, Mr. Davis had just taken what was there and really worked with it and brought out the essence and the beauty. Well, I went back to my tennis partner, and I said, Hell, man, I told you." He said, "Oh, man, these are beautiful. These are good. Oh, I told my wife you were a great photographer." I said, "Yeah, right. You and I are done. I am going to equip you on the tennis court from now on." So that's one of my stories about photography. And then when I went to Jim and started talking to him and shared some things with him, what he did was he said, "Mm-hmm, uh-huh, yeah, yeah," as he thumbed through my prints. He said, "Uh-huh, okay." And then he just kind of tossed it over to the side. He said, "Come on with me. Yeah. I want for us to do some work together." Well, no, it wasn't really about him wanting for us to do work together, but he recognized that I did have a talent and that he could help me and that he really, really did want to help me. Let me bring Carrie Kelly into this equation. We've got all of this testosterone right up here, up front right now. So, Carrie, what are your thoughts in terms of what you've heard us say about Jim Johnson and or your experiences with photographers as well?
Well, I'm just wishing that I had one of y'all, you or Curtis Miller at my wedding to take good pictures at my wedding, because Actually, the wedding pictures came out well. It was the bachelorette party that I needed a real good photographer for. But you guys aren't going out at bachelorette parties, so oh well.
Let us thank God for small favors.
Yeah, but he sounds like a delight, and I'm sorry that I missed out on getting to know him. He sounds like he's got a great sense of humor. The one with the Gorilla Glue had me rolling. I could just see you getting teased about the Gorilla Glue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, definitely, definitely. Ronald, what other things do you recall about Jim Johnson that helped you to become the accredited and awesome photographer that you are, that where congressmen and other people are calling on you for your services? What was it about Jim that helped you in that way?
I think a big part had to do with life. We talked a lot about photography, but I met Jim at a time when I needed a friend. I was unemployed. I had just been laid off, and Jim gave me a job. But more so than that, he taught me excellence. He turned me on to something that I didn't even know where I was going to if we're talking about stories. Jim took me told me to come to his house one evening and asked me to go to a meeting with him. I thought I was going somewhere just to have a meal, and it turned out with Jim turning me into something called LifeSpring, which was a self-awareness course. He was always about teaching. He was always about teaching. This course took me down a five-day road that helped me understand the importance of dreaming, the importance of looking outside of the box. One thing that always comes to me when I think about Jim is the term that I picked up from LifeSpring, as it relates to what are you pretending not to know? Because, see, Jim believed that all of us had what we needed inside of us. We just always sometimes had to step outside of ourselves to see what was inside us. He believed firmly that we had all the tools. But he also believed in constantly pouring knowledge into yourself. You're talking about a collection of books and tapes. Jim was a constant studier of life in any form that he could get his hands on. And again, I'll go back to that same story. The word pass it on came from me asking him how I could pay him back for helping me, because I was one of those fellas that would always ask Jim, because I always knew and felt like he knew most things about photography. He said, if you want to pay me back for what I've done for you, just pass it on. I can never forget that statement, because it was something that he lived through time and time again.
Excellent. Absolutely true. And don't you both feel, Terry, you included in this as well, that that is what is required of all of us? Dobie, I'm going to point this actually in your direction right now. Don't you feel that once we have accepted the mantle of instruction from someone, and Jim and I are close to the same age, so it wasn't like we had this huge separation of age, but he had the wisdom relative to, as Ronald was saying, life, and he certainly had all of the wisdom relative to this wonderful field that I had decided I wanted to be a part of. So, Dobie, do you feel that then there is that which is then required of us to pass it on as well?
Most definitely. You know, the one of the pointers that Jim gave me, you know, I pass along to other photographers, and a lot of my experiences with my photographic experiences, I passed along to assistants that I hire, or, you know, at some of the, I'll say ASMP meetings or PPA. I mean, there's so much information out there that there's no reason to hold on to it, because we all can benefit from it. And, you know, so that was one of the things that I always make sure I did, because, you know, I've met people that kind of, you know, hold on to information. I'm like, well, you know, you need to share it, because we can all learn. And, you know, there's really not a possession factor on it. The knowledge is out there. You just have to grasp it and run with it and then pass it along.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. To pay it forward, to quote one of the movies that was out many years ago. And I think that epitomized who it is, not was, but who it is that Jim Johnson is, because that was his love. He had a passion for people. He had a love and an appreciation for life, as you all have said so wonderfully well a little bit earlier. And what he then did was to help others to feel that same way. There's a wonderful song that is sang in the African American churches, and it talks about passing it on, making certain that you stir up the gift that is within you, and then after you have stirred up that gift that is within you, to then turn to your left and turn to your right, reach up, reach down, and help others to find that passion that is within them and to ignite that fire that then helps them to not only move forward and do those things that is within them to do, but to then reach back with both hands and grab somebody else and pull them along as well. And as you all know, with Jim, it didn't have to be people that looked like him. It was anybody and everybody that was interested in life, interested in photography, interested and had that zeal, but according to knowledge. Because, you know, we can come along and we can have a zeal, but not according to knowledge, and that's a huge, huge, huge difference. Gentlemen and Carrie, I'd like for you all to stand by for a moment. I want to make our listeners aware, all of those of you who are both online and on the telephone with us, we appreciate your being here. If you have tuned in via the computer system, via the World Wide Web, then we invite you also to call in so that you can ask your question and so that we can hear what your question is, and we would be happy to do that. This panel of distinguished people is standing ready to do just that. You may call in at 347-838-9142 and then press 1. You have to press 1 to let us know that that is your intent. Otherwise, we will just allow you to listen as you would love to do. And so that, too, though, is a very good thing. Let me tell you about some of the shows here on the Renford Broadcast Network, under the Renford Broadcast, our network of shows. We are excited to bring you so many really, really phenomenal things. As an example, on Tuesdays, the Night Search Show at 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time is hosted by Eddie Middleton from Memphis, Tennessee, and Justin Abner from Orlando, Florida. And they do a number of phenomenal things relative to all types of good stuff that people want to know about. Their show comes on at 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Any time frame that I quote to you is going to be from the Central Standard Time because we are here home-based in Memphis, Tennessee, although we come to you from all across the world. The Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program is on at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time and is hosted by our own James Renford Powell, and again, from Memphis, Tennessee. We are excited about that because, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be spiritual. But to be spiritual and broke, well, Jim Johnson always said, listen, unless you have some money to go along with your knowledge, then, brother, you are missing out. And so I learned to appreciate that, especially in Washington, D.C. So join Jim on the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. That will be on tonight at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9:30 p.m. for those of you who are listening to us from the Washington, D.C. Northeast Corridor. The Progressive News Weekly Show is hosted by Daryl Clark from New York, and that's on Thursdays. And that's hosted at 5:30 p.m. And the moderator and co-host of that program is our own Cecil McDaniel. We invite you to check them out at 5:30 p.m. on Thursdays. The Searchers Roadmap Show at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time is hosted by my moderator, Rhonda Harrison, from Red Feathers Lake, Colorado. The Searchers Roadmap is an awesome show and is the longest-running show on the RBR network. Rhonda is a healer, and she often hosts shamans from around the world at her home, 9,000 feet up the mountains of Colorado. The last show I'm going to tell you about this evening is The Soul Town, The Sound of Music, which is broadcast at 3 p.m. and is hosted from Memphis, Tennessee by Reginald Jenkins. Reginald was a founding member and CEO of Soundtown Records, which was established after the closure of Stax Records in Memphis. And when Lord knows, we all know about Stax Records and the contribution that they have made. Make certain you check that out on Saturdays at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, again, Central Standard Time. The final show I want to tell you about is the Dream Vision 7 show at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, again on Thursdays, and that's hosted by Deborah Bouvet from Boston, Massachusetts. So, folks, we have a plethora of phenomenal opportunities for you to take advantage of, and we invite you to do that. This evening on The No Show, we are talking about and serving notice and tribute to James Johnson of Washington, D.C. Our dear friend decided to transition a little bit earlier this month, and we are now recognizing just a little bit of the contribution that he made to a few of us, and there are so many, so many, many, many others as well. But we have on the phone with us several people who are addressing what Jim Johnson meant to them. And I want to share with you that there are others who could not be with us this evening. Sterling Hoffman, who is also in the Maryland corridor, is off teaching in somewhere in Seattle, Washington, in that area, and sent his condolences for not being able to be a part of this, as well as many, many, many others. But there are folks who did, in fact, not only say, listen, I cannot not be a part of this, they sent some things, and I want to share with you that one of those folks, and these two gentlemen know him well, is Clay Blackmore. Clay Blackmore is a protege of the world-renowned professional photographer Monty Zucker, and now world-class photographer in his own right and owner of Clay & Company. And he had some phenomenal words to say about our friend Jim Johnson, and I want to make certain that you all get to hear what it was that Clay said. Please stand by for just a moment and listen to these words from our friend Clay.
Hey, Robert. You know, the news you're bringing me right now is not good news. Jim Johnson was a real dear friend. I mean, I fell out of touch with him over the last few years, but, you know, it's the time, the quality of time you spend with somebody, not the quantity of time. And every time I was around Jim, he was just such a gentleman. He came into our lives when Monty and I were running strong, and that's when I met you as well. And it's a shock to find out that he's not with us anymore. And I actually knew Jim fairly well at one time, you know, maybe going back 10 years ago. And my hopes are that he crossed over to the good side. I think he was a believer, and I think he's probably in heaven right now taking wedding pictures. And I think he's going to be okay. And I think we're all going to have a big reunion just before you know it. It's going to happen soon. And I'm sorry to hear the bad news, but there's always a bright side. The Lord knows what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day. And they say the days of a righteous man are numbered. And I think it was Jim's time to go. And he looks very at peace in the photograph. I'm looking at him right now. He looks like he's just comfortable and ready for anything. So I hope this message makes it to you in time. I wish I could be with you to give you a hug and to ease the pain, because I know you were close to him. And I think Monty would feel the same way, that he was very close to Jim, and he'd love to just do a group hug on everybody. All right. Wishing all of you the best. Bye-bye.
And that was Clay, who is just a phenomenal guy and an awesome photographer as well. Ronald, I know that you know Clay and Dobie. I feel confident that you do as well. And even though he could not be with us in person, he was not satisfied with that. And he said, "What is it that I can do? How can I let people know who Jim Johnson is, and how it is that I felt and Monty Zucker felt about Jim?" And so I'm excited that we were able to bring that small tidbit of him to us. Let me go back to you, Ron. What are your thoughts, having heard the things that we've talked about? Was there anything that you picked up on that you wanted to follow up on?
A smile. A smile of reality that I look forward to continuing living my life right on this side, so I can join Jim on the other side, because I'm sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that he's there with his mother and his brother and my mother and our friends and all those people that have lived righteously the way they should live. I have no doubt in my wildest dream that men of his nature have done nothing but go up and stay up. And they're looking down on us. You know, the last thing I said to Jim was, "Tell my parents and your family that I said hello." Because I knew the type of man he was. I knew the type of spirit that he constantly showed. And I have no doubt of where he's gone. And I constantly told his family, you know, we may lose him here, but we just have another angel in heaven. And I look forward to seeing him again one day.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel
Excellent.
About the man, the friend that I love, Jim Johnson.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Dobie, do you have any comments on that?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, Jim lived life to the fullest. I mean, he really had a wonderful life doing what he loved and enjoying people, and it showed all every time you talked to him. He was always upbeat, and, you know, I am just, you know, honored to have had him as a friend and to have known him and just, you know, watch him as he, you know, went through life and just enjoying every minute of it, you know, whether it was, you know, the toys he had or in his, you know, professional photography career and the people he met and introduced me to. He was just a really wonderful person and enjoyed it, just enjoyed life. And that was, you know, a lesson to, you know, take every day as positive and just enjoy it.
Right. And Jim also was a very sophisticated gentleman. And of course, during my tenure of service with the Washington, D.C. Convention and Visitors Bureau, I got to travel all over the world. But I would always come back, and whenever it was that Jim and I would sit and chat and chew, and I would share something about wherever it was that I had been or someone that I had met, he always had something progressive and positive to say about that area. I mean, so he was well-traveled and well-learned, and I always admired that about him and appreciated that, because we never ran out of things to say. It didn't have to be about photography, although 70% of it probably was, and was weaved into the conversation as well. But as I said earlier, Jim was a citizen of the world. And so in terms of his philosophical outlook on spirituality as opposed to religiosity, he always felt that spirituality was the real key, and that religiosity kind of put us into these little cubby holes, but spirituality just opened it up so that we could understand whatever it was that anybody else had to say. And I valued that, and I think that that's one of the things that helped me to move in the direction of ministry that I moved in, one that is inclusive as opposed to being exclusive, and one that invites everybody in, whether I agree with them or not. We can have a conversation, because I tell people rather quickly, and so with Jim, I'm in the conversation, not conversion. I don't need for you to convert me, But if you would like for us to talk about our similarities as opposed to our differences, then we can have a hallelujah happy time. So as long as that is the case, let's go for it. Let's move forward. Let me say one other thing about Monty Zucker and Clay. The way that I met Monty Zucker, who was a fabulous photographer, as Clay is now, and traveling all over the world and rightfully being paid for his services, because Monty taught him that. But I was under the tutelage of Jim Johnson. And Jim said to me, he said, "Wow, you are really doing well. As a matter of fact, your ring shot on the wedding photography, guys," he said, "your ring shot looks better than mine." Now, Jim knew that my ring shot did not look better than his. I knew that my ring shot did not look better than his, because nobody, in my opinion, including Monty Zucker, could do a ring shot the way that Jim Johnson did it. And so I looked at him, though, and I just had tremendous appreciation for what he was saying and how he was saying it. And I also had tremendous validation, which is important, from a teacher to a student, for that student to feel that he or she is at the point of doing almost as well as the person that is teaching them. And so I really, because I understood the semantics of life at that point, understood what it was that that Jim was doing, and was tremendously appreciative of that as well. You know, another thing, guys, that I think came about was collaboration. Ron Williams, you shot a job for me in, I guess, last year sometime now, because I was here in Little Rock, but on my way to Washington, and had a job and was double booked for a particular day. And you, out of the both kindness of your heart, appreciation for your brother, and your bank account, said, "Yes, I will do that for you." And so we had to have a place, a central point, where we could drop off and pick up. And that ended up being Jim Johnson's home. Was that last year or year before, Ronald?
I believe it was last year.
Okay. And so collaboration is another of the tremendous things that I learned from Jim, to bring people into the fold and to help them to understand the importance of camaraderie, of working together and doing things that made the situation come out for the best for all concerned. Do you all have any recollections of anything like that?
Dependability. You could take Jim to the bank. Anyone that Jim introduced you to, you could take to the bank. Because he was a man that did what he said and believed in what he was doing. Never doing it halfway, but always giving it 110%. Jim was that kind of person. And in being in his presence, you could do nothing but fall into the same realm, because Jim was going to make sure that if he didn't think what you were doing was up to par, he was going to try to help you get up to par. Nothing else but dependability when I think of Jim.
Good point. Delby, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree with Ron. I mean, he had a certain level or standard that, you know, if, you know, early on I would work with Jim while I was in graduate school, helping him shoot weddings, and, you know, it he just had a certain level of professionalism, and, you know, so you said, you know, that made me think, well, okay, you know, you got to be functioning at this high level all the time, and that this is how your clients, you know, remember you and come back to you. And I carried that over, even though we did not, you know, do the same type of photography, but, you know, that that translates into other areas, how you carry mm-hmm. yourself with your clients and with people in general. And, you know, it's just I can share a little funny story with you. When I was helping him shoot a wedding one time, and, you know, I was using one of his second bodies, and this particular body, during the ceremony, you know, when the bride and groom are doing their vows, and I'm up in the balcony, and of course, you know, I'm doing the slow shutter speed, and, you know, you hear the clunk of the shutter, and everybody looks back up in the balcony at me. And I know Jim was just kind of chuckling because he was like, I'm not going to be up there with the noisy camera. So, you know, it's just little funny things, you know, and it was always a good time with him, and, you know, always have fun. Even though, you know, shooting weddings is hard work, but it was enjoyable, and I took that into the, you know, commercial work and editorial work that I did. I always tell my assistants, look, you know, we got a lot of work to do today, but let's make it fun, because mm-hmm. then it's not, it was never work to me. Whenever I went to my studio, I never said I was going to work. You know, I was going mm-hmm. to studio, because this is what I love to do. And, you know, Jim loved what he did. And, you know, we would talk about different approaches to doing a shot, and he would call me, ask me about, you know, some business practices occasionally. And it was nice to be able to give back information to someone that, you know, I learned so much from.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Awesome. Yeah, that's true. I remember that I had gone by one afternoon, and Jim looked at some of my work, and he said, yeah, that's very good. That is very, very good. You need to go to one of Monty Zucker's workshops. And I said, oh, okay, because I really didn't at that point even know who Monty Zucker was. And he said, yeah, because it will be very helpful to you. And as a matter of fact, there's one that's starting in 2 weeks, and it's for a week, and I want for you to go. So that would be good for you. And the money that you invest in it, while it, you know, is not just a couple of dollars, but it will be well worth it. So I said, oh, okay, all right. And so I was making plans to go to the Monty Zucker seminar. And all of a sudden, you know how when you're in a room and you're doing something, and your mother or your granny is standing in the back of the room, the hair on the back of your neck just starts to stand up. I said, Jim, How much is that seminar with Monty Zucker? He said, oh, it's $500. And so, like I said, you were really into it. Wait a minute. Now, back then, $500, he might as well have said $500,000. I'm trying to think, at that time I was married, my wife is going to kill me. There is no way that I am going to go to this woman and say, hi, honey. I'm going to take $500 of our milk, food, baby's money, and go to a photography seminar. Well, first of all, you all know how many of the ladies at that time were feeling about that. Anyway, y'all just out there having fun, and you really need to go. Just go get a job. Well, so Jim laughed. He cracked up. He just laughed. And I said, you can laugh, but you're not the one having to come up with this money to go to that class. And yakka, 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 yakka. So he let me go through all of that rampage. And then he said, here's a check for $200. You come up with the rest. He had already written out the check because he knew that I, number one, didn't have the money, that I was, number two, going to say exactly what I said, and number three, which is the most critical and important, that he wanted to support me in supporting myself because he knew where it was that I would ultimately go. I went to Monty Zucker's seminar for that week-long extravaganza. Clay and I became friends. Monty and I became friends. But even more importantly than any of that and all of the people that I met who are now, like Sterling and other folks, professional photographers in their own right, When I left there and I went home, I raised my prices 100% immediately and booked it. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that the person I was sitting across from actually said yes. I know you all can relate to that, you know, when you're first starting out with it. But they did, because I felt like I was worth it, because Jim had helped me to know that I was worth it, that I deserved it, and that there were people out there who would, in fact, appreciate that as well. And then I booked the former mayor of Philadelphia, Mayor Wilson Good. I booked his daughter's funeral and felt like and knew that I belonged right there too, and took with me everything that I needed to do that job. Here's an interesting caveat. I took four bodies. That's, I was shooting cannon then. I took four cannon bodies with me to that wedding, and three of them broke. You hear me? Three of those cameras broke. That's what Jim Johnson taught me. Always, always, always be prepared. Be prepared. Gentlemen, please, we've got about seven or so minutes left. I want to allow you all to close out in your own way. And Carrie, anytime you would like to jump in there, please feel free to do so. This is not Macho City. We want you to know that you are most welcome in this conversation, okay?
Okay, well, all I wanted to interject was I really love the fact that he understood that, excuse me, we always have everything we need. We all always have what the knowledge inside of us. I love that he stressed that fact to people that he was connected to. And I love the fact that he made it a point to have people pass on the knowledge that they gained so that other people could have it. Because that is something that a lot of people will hold on to, and they will, no, don't. I heard in my lifetime, don't teach everybody, don't teach somebody everything you know, because then you won't be needed. So you know, that philosophy is no longer serving, and so I'm really glad that there are people out there that are passing on the knowledge so that everyone can have access, and that also keeps his energy alive and with us.
Absolutely, absolutely. His legacy, that is, and that is what each and every one of us, thank you, Carrie, for saying that, is right now producing. We are producing our legacy, and when we look at it and ask the question, is this what I want to leave behind, then and we you know, actually are able to get up and know that there is another day ahead of us, we can do something about it. So that is extremely, extremely important. Ronald?
What comes to my mind is a small statement. May it be said, when the sun sets on your life, that you made a difference. Jim made a difference in a tremendous amount of people's lives. And I thank God for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We know that energy, once created, is never, ever, ever completely dissipated. And so we are aware that whenever it is that we miss our friend, miss being able to, for me, especially here lately for some reason, pick up the phone and just call him. Because even during this challenge with Parkinson's, Jim and I spoke every day. We spoke every day. Even the days when he had to go to the hospital, he would call me here in Little Rock, Arkansas. He was in Maryland, there in the nursing home, and tell me to then call the nursing station and tell them that he needed something. And I said, what? What, Jim? He said, look, just call the people, okay? Just call. I said, okay, fine. I'm going to call the people. I'm going to call the people. And then he would say, okay, you going to call right now? I said, look, didn't I tell you? And he would laugh. And then I knew that he was feeling better. He was coming out of whatever it was. One of those visits, the ambulance came, and Jim took his cell phone in the back. I went all the way to the hospital and into the emergency room with him. I was still online, 47.8 minutes and seconds later. I was still on the line because I wanted to make sure that they didn't mistreat my brother. And everything was as it needed to be. So, you know, the legacies that we leave then allow people to be in touch with us, close to us, and to not ever, ever, ever want to leave us alone. And those are important legacies for us to consider and for us to know that spirit, universal impersonal principle, the God force, is with us. We have about a minute and a half left. I'd like to give thanks to all of the folks that have been a part of this experience, and even those of you who were who had called in but decided not to say anything. That's okay. You are certainly within your right to do so. And we know, we don't have to question or wonder, but we know that there's something that you got from this conversation. And so we are excited about your being good to somebody else. One of the things that Ronald Williams just said is legacy. Legacy. Leave a legacy. But start leaving your legacy now. After you move from this space and this place and transition into the next phase of life, it's too late to leave a legacy here. So go ahead and start with that legacy now. Start doing the things that you need to do so that whenever it is that you are called upon to move into that next phase, you will be ready. I'd like to thank all of the folks that sent their well wishes. Sterling Hoffman from Silver Spring, Maryland, was kind enough to do that. Of course, Clay Blackmore, also in the Maryland area, and of course my two friends who are live and in living color here online with us, Ronald Williams and Mr. Dobie. Gentlemen, I'd like to give you an opportunity to tell the people where they can reach you for your photographic services right quickly, starting with you, Ronald.
I am in Fort Washington, Maryland, Ronald Williams of Quality Photography. It's qphotorw@yahoo.com at 301-221-8055. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. And Mr. Dobie.
I'm located in Silver Spring, Maryland, Dobie Photography, D-O-B-Y. The website is dobiephoto.com. Office number is 301-588-6713.
Excellent. And both of you have websites that once the people Google your names, all they have to do is then move forward to where it is that that you are and experience the awesomeness of professional photography as nobody else can do it. We are so pleased that everyone decided to be with us today. This show would not have been what it was had it not been for your presence. We appreciate and validate who it is that you are. We know that you will go forth and do that which is required of you. You, too, will leave and are leaving right now your own legacy. And so we invite you to be a part of the Jim Johnson experience, to do what you can for others while you can, and to move forward in wonder-filled and wonderful ways. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan. This is The No Show. We are so pleased that you stopped through to visit with us for a while. Next week, we have my friend Peter from the Association for Research and Enlightenment, ARE, in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I have all of these folks from the Northeast on my program for some reason, and I love them. That's why. Thanks, folks. Take care. God bless. We'll see you. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Miss Carrie. God bless, everybody.
Okay.
We're out
Thank
of here.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. God bless.